Good evening, and it is good to see you folks tonight, and those who are meeting with us by way of the internet, we welcome you to the service as well. And we're so thankful that you can be a part of our worship service. Our governor has announced new restrictions upon our state in various areas, and he said he was going to announce whatever restrictions he intends to make pertaining to churches. I think that is supposed to be tomorrow. I understood in his words that he would not shut us down, but that there would be some restrictions, so we'll just wait and see what he has to say, and then if we need to make adjustments, then we will do so accordingly. As I wrote for the article that was in the bulletin this past Sunday, the powers that be are ordained of God. And we recognize the authority of our governor, and that he is in his position by the will of God. And as long as he doesn't infringe upon the way we worship, the way we believe, as long as his intention appears to be our safety, then whatever he says pertaining to our meetings together, then we will seek to abide by that. It is certainly good to know that all the issues of life and of death are in the hands of our God. And for the people of the Lord, we face many disappointments in life, and oftentimes the things pertaining to us and perhaps our health and our families and so forth don't go the way we would want them to go, but everything goes the way God wants it to go, and that's good. We worship the Lord who's sovereign over all things, and we bow to him and acknowledge his goodness and his infinite wisdom, because he sees all things even from the beginning. And we can't even see 5 seconds ahead, but he knows all things, and so we rejoice in him. And we worship him who governs all things according to his sovereign will and purpose. Well, I'm going to speak to you this evening on the subject, I am the bread of life, which is sort of a continuation of Sunday night. I didn't get to finish, didn't even get to the second part of the message Sunday night, but I didn't feel like I did justice to the first part, the manna from heaven, Christ being the bread of life. In fact, I had someone ask me a few weeks ago. I received a text from someone who spoke and said, "Are you ever satisfied with your messages or something to that nature?" And it's kind of a hard question to answer, really. I am satisfied in that I tell the truth. I don't believe I can be fairly accused. I don't think it would be fair to accuse me of not preaching the truth of the gospel of God's grace to sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. But do I feel that I do justice to the effort to preach the gospel and to expound the Word of God? Well, No, I don't, because I have an infinite subject, and I'm a finite being, and I always feel that I'm in waters way over my head, and that's why I always seek God's goodness and mercy and his strength to enable me to speak to you who, like myself, are going out into eternity. And I want to tell you the truth as clearly and simply as I can do that. And I trust that God will enable me to do that this evening also. Let's ask him if he would do that. Our great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and thou who art our Father, for you adopted us into your family, we live by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We call upon you at this hour, seeking that you would provide for us a time of worship and permit us, Lord, enable us to focus in upon the blessed bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose own words have to be laid hold of and believed. And may we rest in him who said, I am the bread of life. That which we ask, Lord, for ourselves is a spiritual hunger and a thirst for this bread, for this manna from heaven, for this blessed Savior. We have a natural thirst, Lord, for the things of the world, the things that appeal to the flesh. And we're born with that. But we're thankful that we're born again. And you have given to us the very nature, the life of the new man in us, Christ Jesus, the Savior. And with his presence within, we have a hunger for the Word of God. We have a hunger to learn, to feast upon the gospel, to sit down at this feast of good things, of, as Isaiah says, a feast of fat things that the spiritual man savors. And we ask that you would be with us this evening as we have once again come, as it were, to sit at the table of our God and to be fed. May we hear the Master say to us, as he said to his disciples just shortly before he ascended, he said to them, come and dine. And may we hear those words effectually this evening and come to the table, come to the spiritual banquet, come to the Word of God, come to him who is the bread of life, who came down from heaven and gave his life a ransom to save his people from their sins. So enable us this evening to worship. For Jesus' sake, we ask these things. Amen. Well, as we get to John chapter 6, our Lord, he spends a good bit of this sixth chapter, as you know, dealing with the subject of bread. Basically, there are three ways that the bread is mentioned in John chapter 6. First of all, the bread is multiplied. our Lord has been teaching, has been preaching, and what a glorious thing it must have been to sit under the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And of course, most of these people here in John chapter 6, they didn't believe him, and they evidenced their unbelief in that after he had finished with his teaching, at the end of his message, most of them left and followed him no more. They said, this is a hard saying. His doctrines are too hard. They're too difficult. They're too narrow-minded, and we don't believe this. And most of his disciples, most of these students, most of these who sat at his feet, they left him. They weren't interested in what he had to say, but he's been preaching. And he had preached for a good bit of the time, and the people were hungry. And there were lots of people. The scripture says 5,000 men, and then in addition to that, there were the women and the children. So it could have easily been 15, 20, 25,000 people. We don't have any way of knowing exactly how many, only that there were 5,000 men. And our Lord had them all sit down after one of the disciples said, they're hungry, what are we going to do? And the Lord said, indicated to them he would provide. And then one of the disciples said, there's a lad here that has a couple of fish and five barley loaves, but what are they among so many? And he didn't see the glory of the one to whom he was speaking. This is the Son of God. This is the Creator. This is the Sustainer of all things. And he who could speak the world into existence would have no difficulty feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. And these men were of little faith. And may God forgive us of little faith as well, because we don't believe him as we should. But our Lord had the people, they sat down in groups of 50 and in a very orderly fashion. And then he took the loaves and the fishes, and all of a sudden the bread was multiplied. Just as it came out of his hands, and basket after basket after basket was filled. And here are the 12 apostles, and they distribute the food, and they come back, and the master from his omnipotent hands, here's a miracle going on all the while. And here are the thousands of people who are looking on. And it's very interesting that later in this story, they said, why don't you show us a sign and we'll believe you? That's the next day. That's what they said. You show us a sign. We want to see a sign. Well, this was a really big sign. As he fed thousands and thousands of people, and they watched him, and it must have been just mind-boggling as this food just kept multiplying. Till finally everyone was filled. And the disciples were instructed, gather up what's left over, that nothing be lost. And each one of the disciples had a basket of food left over, food for the preachers. And so the preachers' needs were met for probably a few days. But these who witnessed the miracle and who were the participants of this miraculous feeding, they looked at Jesus of Nazareth, seeing him as a great miracle worker, and they said, this is that prophet that Moses spoke of. Let's make him king. And our Lord knew their intentions, and so he slipped away. And his disciples left as well. And he told his disciples, get into the ship and go to the other side. And so they did. But he didn't go with them. And the people saw that the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, did not get in the boat to go across the sea with his disciples. And he was walking by the seashore, and he just left. He left all those people behind because they weren't interested in a Savior. They weren't interested in a Redeemer. They were only interested in one who would release them from Roman bondage. That's all they were concerned about, was the flesh. And he left them. He left them. And then he went up in a mountain and prayed. Well, that night, you know the story, how there was a storm at sea, and the disciples were very worried because they were in the boat, and the boat is topsy-turvy and so forth. And our Lord Jesus walked on the water, and he came to them. And the sea suddenly became still. Well, then the next day, all that crowd of people that he fed, most of them, they came to the other side by ships and boats and whatnot. And then they saw the Lord Jesus over there, and they said, "How'd you get over here? What are you doing over here? You didn't leave with your disciples." Now, if he had said, "I walked on the water over here," they'd be even more excited about making him a king. But he didn't answer that. But rather, he began to speak to them about a subject that they brought up. Now, already bread was on their mind. This vast amount of food that he had provided for these thousands and thousands of people. So we saw the bread that was indeed multiplied. And then we see the bread as manna. Look at verse 31. "Our fathers did eat manna." They're the ones who brought this up first. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They bring up the manna. Now, our Lord Jesus, all things are under his control. All things are according to his purpose. And he has, on purpose, he has multiplied the bread and the fishes in order to establish in their minds this great principle of bread, the neediness of bread, the worth of bread, the nourishment of bread. He's the one who started this. And then when they get to the other side of the sea, the people having in their minds this fresh remembrances and recall of all this vast amount of bread, then they began to say, "Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness." So now the bread, not only is the bread multiplied, but now the bread is referenced as being manna. And we studied this past Lord's Day about the manna as the Lord gave it in Exodus chapter 16. It was the most unusual thing that God gave to them because when they had murmured against the Lord, then the scripture says, "And behold," God said to Moses, "behold, I will rain bread from heaven." And isn't that just like our God, merciful, gracious? You see, the children of Israel, they represent, they're typical of all of the true Israel of God. I'm not saying, and nobody would ever say that all of natural Israel was spiritual Israel. There's a distinction between the two, because we read in the book of Romans chapter 9, not all of Israel is Israel. We know that. But they did represent the people of God, a holy nation, a chosen people. And God would not destroy the nation because he would be true to his covenant he made with Abraham, even as he won't destroy us, this spiritual nation, this holy nation, this nation given to Christ Jesus in covenant grace. He won't destroy us, though we deserve to be destroyed, though we deserve to perish. God made a covenant with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, for the salvation of all of His elect. And God loves us. He won't destroy us. And because He loves us, He sent living manna from heaven. And very often in this passage of Scripture, we read of this bread that's come down from heaven. This is the real manna. The true manna is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, not only is the bread multiplied and the bread manna, but the bread we learn here is the Messiah. The bread is somebody. Look at verse 33. For the bread of God is He. That's very important. The bread of God is He. It's somebody. It's not a thing. Oh, now what they gathered every morning for 6 days a week, and then on Friday gathered double for the seventh day, for the Sabbath day, that was a thing. But that thing that lay on the ground, that was a picture of the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down here and humbled Himself. Look at that manna. Where is that manna? Is it out here? Is it waist high where you can just go out and reach? No, it's down there on the ground. Get down. Humble yourself. And our Lord Jesus humbled Himself. Oh, how low did He stoop? He stooped so low as to embrace our nature and then in that nature live and suffer and bleed and die to redeem us. And in that nature be raised again. And in that nature be seated at the right hand of God in heaven. He is Messiah. This bread is Messiah. Yeah, the bread is multiplied. That's true. The bread is manna. That manna that God gave them from heaven. But that manna is a picture of Messiah, the Son of God. You'll notice what he says after he identifies himself or identifies the fact that the bread of God is somebody, is He, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He says in verse 34, or they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now what kind of bread do you think they've got in mind? The same kind of bread they ate the day before. In fact, he knew why they followed him, because they wanted another free meal. These people love living on physical charity from the hands of Jesus of Nazareth, but they weren't interested in spiritual charity. They weren't interested in grace. They weren't interested in righteousness. They weren't interested in being saved by the life and death of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. So verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am. He loved to use that expression, I am. And of course, that takes us back, those of us who are acquainted with the Scriptures to any degree, it takes us all the way back to Exodus chapter 3. When Moses saw this bush, Moses on the backside of the desert, he sees a bush that's on fire. But it doesn't burn up. And he starts to walk over to this unusual sight. A bush that's on fire, but it doesn't burn up. And then a voice says, take your shoes off. You're on the holy ground. I bet that got his attention. He hears a voice coming out of a burning bush. And the voice identifies himself as being I am. He's Jehovah, the ever-existent God. The God without beginning and without end. He is Jehovah, God our Savior. And you get to the book of John. And the Spirit of God leading John what to write leads him to emphasize this I am to identify Jesus of Nazareth. Who is this bread come down from heaven? And you can read, it's about eight or nine times. You can read through the sixth chapter of John that he is spoken of as being the bread that came down from heaven. Who is he? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Here's who he is. He's the I am. There are two ways that our Lord loved to refer to himself. He loved to refer to himself as the Son of Man. He loved that. That's really what the book of Luke is about, identifying him as the Son of Man. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He's the Son of Man. Matthew shows him he's the King, shows us he's the King. Therefore, he writes mostly to the Jews. Mark identifies him as being the servant. But Luke identifies him as being the Son of Man. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He loves to identify himself with us, the people whom he came to save. And then we get to the Gospel of John. And John presents no genealogy or anything like that. Unlike Matthew and Luke, he doesn't talk about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When John begins to write, there's no kind of introduction to get into his subject. He just, right from the get-go, the Gospel of John begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He starts off with a declaration of the deity of this one, Jesus of Nazareth. He's the I Am. And throughout this gospel, he continually uses this expression with regards to our Lord Jesus. John chapter 8, Christ said, I am the light of the world. Those who follow him no longer walk in darkness. We were in darkness, but the light of lights has shined on us. He's illuminated our darkened minds. He's the light of the world. He said, Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. He's the door, the only door into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven, into the presence of God. Would you enter into the presence of God? One door. Not many doors. I don't remember exactly the way he said it, but I was watching these golfers. And two older golfers, because this past weekend was the Masters. And I was watching these two older golfers, and they were talking. And they were talking about Arnold Palmer, who died a while back. And one of them kind of looked up to heaven and said, well, I guess he's in the long driving championship or something like that. And he's up there. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we'll all get there. This is a very educated man saying that. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we'll get there. Well, now, wait a minute. There's only one door to get there. There's one way. Our Lord Jesus, here's another one of his I ams. I am the way. There isn't another way. Pick and choose whichever way you want. I don't know how we'll get there, but we'll get there some way. Well, wait a minute. the word of God that liveth and abides forever says there's one way to God. And the Savior identifies the way. He says, I'm the way. And if you don't know him, you're not in the way. You're in the broad way that leads to destruction. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the truth. Not a truth, one of many truths. It don't matter. The idea of a lot of people today, as it's always been, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. As long as you mean business, somewhat anyhow. One truth. One embodiment of the truth. All of the truth of God, who God is and how God does things and all of the perfections of God, all in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the truth, he says. That means everything else is falsehood. Everything else a lie. I'm the way, the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the life. You see, he not only gives life, he does that. But he gives life because he is life. He didn't receive life. Life wasn't given to him. He is life. It originates with him. He's the eternal God. And if you're to live, you'll have to live by his life. He'll have to give you life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? He gives his life for the sheep. He said in John 10:36, I am the Son of God. He asserted his own divinity, his eternality. He set forth the plurality of the persons of the Godhead. And the unity of the divine persons. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, Martha. Those who believe me will never die. He that liveth and believeth will never die. We live first and then we believe. That's the order. He said, I'm the vine, and we're the branches. He told Pilate, he said, I am king. And he says right here, I am the bread of life. And if any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. If you eat of this bread, what does it mean to eat of this bread? To receive him. To be nourished by him. You know that manna that God gave them. It was a miraculous thing, obviously. But every nutrient and every vitamin that this body needs, a body made by God, so he knows exactly what the body needs. Everything the Israelites needed daily was in that manna. And I'm telling you, everything you need as a sinner going out into eternity, everything you need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He that cometh to me, he says, shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. We feed on him. See, and all of you know this, of course. Behind so many symbols and types and pictures of the Old Testament is to be found our Lord Jesus. And he sets forth himself as bread. That is so simple. That isn't deep. It isn't overwhelming as far as above our ability to comprehend, at least on a natural level. We understand what bread is. And we understand hunger to a degree. Now, we've never been hungry that I know of. I mean, as far as like starving to death, even though after 3 or 4 hours, we'll say, I'm starving to death. We're not really starving after 3 or 4 hours. After a few days, you'd be starving. But we do have a hunger for the Son of God, for this great I Am, for the manna from heaven, for the bread come down from heaven. We have a hunger for Him. And we feast on Him. You see, this manna, the manna was a free gift from God. Back in Exodus chapter 16, we learned that there was no charge for the manna. There was no fee. It wasn't, okay, we're going to give you bread, but you got to pay for it. No, there wasn't any charge for it. There wasn't a wage to be earned or a prize to be won or a reward to be sought. God just gave it as a gift. Right there it is, every morning. You hungry? Yeah. There it is, right there. Well, it doesn't look like much. It looks mighty little. Well, don't despise a day of small things. Our Lord Jesus was little. He was a little baby coming this way. That can't be the Savior. He's so little. Well, Simeon looked in his face and said, I've seen God's salvation. It said, some expensive things can come in little packages. And here's the God man. Here's God over all, blessed forever, in a little package. You feast on Him, you'll live forever. That manna was so strange and mysterious. And in fact, the word manna means, what is it? What is it? What is that? They went out in the morning and looked, and the ground's covered with it. What is that? What is it? And they looked at Jesus of Nazareth, and they said, who is He? Who is He? And somebody said, well, he's the Savior. The Savior? I know His daddy Joseph, and I know His mama Mary, and I know His brothers and sisters. Don't tell me He's the Savior, He's the Messiah. Don't tell me He's the one come down from heaven. Who is He? Well, He's your judge too. And He's your sovereign. And He's your Lord. And some people, by the grace of God, are brought to see and realize and believe that He's the Lord. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what that thief said. That manna was just pure white and round. Well, doesn't that speak to us of the purity of the Lord Jesus? Without sin, without blemish, no guile found in His mouth. His hands are clean. His heart is pure. And like that manna round, had no beginning and no ending, that's Him. That's our Savior. No beginning. No end. So He is born in Bethlehem's manger. And I was talking about He was a little baby. It's even said in Micah about Bethlehem, it's just a little place. But our Lord Jesus, His existence didn't begin in Bethlehem's manger. He's the eternal God. Without beginning, without ending. And I'll tell you something, He was bread, or the bread from heaven, the manna, It was only for the Israelites. It was for a particular people. And that's who Christ is for. He's for a particular people. For a particular people. God's Israel. And when you say, well, can God's Israel be identified in this world? Can we know who they are? Well, yeah, in this way they can be identified. They're hungry. They're hungry for this bread. For this bread that came down from heaven. For this one who is the Son of God. For this one who is the Savior. They're hungry for Him. For Him. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Well, come and dine then. Come and eat. And I tell you something, that manna that came down from heaven, it came right to where the Israelites were. That's amazing. They open up their tent door in the morning. Oh, just see them stretching. Honey, you got the coffee going? Well, we're going to have breakfast. Just open up that tent and say, it's right there. It's just right there. And you just get down. You get down and get it. You're going to have to get off your high horse now. You humble yourself before the mighty God. But He came down to where we are. That's what He did. He came down to this earth, to this world of sin and sorrow. And this manna had to be gathered and eaten personally. Tell you what, when it comes to eating, it may look like I'm eating for two people, but I'm really only eating for one. I can only eat for myself. And I'm telling all of you and those of you who are watching on the internet, you must eat yourself. You must feed upon Christ yourself. Nobody else can feed upon Him for you. No one can believe for you. There is no salvation by proxy. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Do you believe? Throughout John 6, our Lord emphasizes, and this would be an interesting study for you. Just go through every time He uses some form of the word come, Him that cometh to me. Go through and look at this. You come to Him out of your need. I was reading just today. I sat at the house. I got a little office to the house. I sat at the house reading. And I was reading something written by Charles Wesley, who was a great hymn writer. And he said he had his window open facing the sea. And he was enjoying the breeze, and he said the breeze picked up. He said all of a sudden, he said he could see back out on the ocean was a storm was brewing. And the waves were picking up and the wind was going. But he said it felt so refreshing to him. But he said, in through the window flew this little bird and flew right in his lap. He didn't want to be out there in the storm of the sea. It flew right in his window. He said it cuddled right up to Charles Wesley. And he said, I cherished that. He said, it was a precious moment to me. He said, I held that little fellow till the winds had subsided. And he said, then I took him in my hands and put him out, and he just flew away as if to thank me for being a refuge for him. And he sat down and wrote these words, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high, oh, hide me, oh, my Savior, oh, hide me, till the storm of life is past. That's us. We just fly into the arms of the Savior. And I'll tell you, all who come to Christ find in Him a safe refuge. I'll tell you something else about this bread from heaven, the manna. It met a daily need. Every day, except of course on Friday, and they'd get a double portion to do them on Saturday. Every day, we need to feed on Christ Jesus every day. And I wonder if that isn't what the Savior meant in His instructive prayer to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Our nourishment is found on feeding on Christ every day. And of course, the manna was baked, put into the fire. Oh, and that speaks of our Lord's substitutionary death when He entered into the wrath of God for us. He absorbed the wrath of God. All of the hell that we would have had to endure, He took it all. There wasn't any hell left for us. There's no judgment left for the people of God. And the manna then was, you know, the Lord told Moses to tell Aaron to put that manna in a cup and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And keep it. Put it up. And I tell you what, God has put His Son up on high. He's lifted Him up to His own right hand as a reward of His obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. And the Scripture says that all who gathered of the manna had sufficient. Some gathered more, some gathered less. But at the end of the day, those who gathered more didn't have anything left over. And those who gathered less, they didn't need any more. The Lord gives us exactly the rate that we need. Because we're all in various stages of spiritual growth. And He gives us day by day as He deems necessary. And He feeds me. He feeds you. Feed me with the living bread. That's what we pray for the Lord to do. Our Father, bless the Word of God tonight, and I trust that we've been fed spiritually, that we've eaten again of the manna from heaven. But today's bread, though we have fed on it, will not suffice for tomorrow. Help us to feed again tomorrow. Give us a spiritual appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen.